We are on.
We are on. Welcome.
I trust Adam with these podcast stuff. This is kind of interesting. This is kind of our fifth iteration, I'm thinking. Fourth or fifth iteration of us doing the show and, well, counting me doing the show by myself for a few months before you came on board. It's kind of the fifth iteration. This is kind of nice. Very comfortable here.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about the FCC, so you can be as blue as you want to be.
That's right. I can just spit out any words that come into my mind.
And I did give Adam a morning libation, so
absolutely,
you never know what's going to come out of Adam's mouth here in the next few
minutes. Yeah,
we'll get
tipsy on smoothie. Absolutely.
Well, this is my name is Rick Castellini, by the way.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
And we've been together for quite a while doing crazy stuff on the radio and trying to do some stuff on the web with, what was that little thing called where we did the video podcasting?
Stick'em.
Yeah. And that was very interesting.
We may come back to Stick'em. I like Ustream a little better, but we
had some interesting moments on Stick'em from time to time.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely not FCC approved moments. Not by us, by the way. It was from the openness of Stick'em and the senselessness of many people that were using Stick'em.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that we tried to take live calls on the air.
Yes.
I think that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
Big mistake. Big mistake. Works in radio, doesn't work very well on when you're talking to the World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web can be still a little woolly and wild.
That's right. If not more so than it used to be.
Well, I guess we should explain, Adam, what we're doing.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What's our goal?
Our goal is to bring Castellini on Computers, I think, back to the mainstream, get people out there listening and have a regular show that we can have people listening to that kind of bring... We did, like Rick was saying, we did Castellini on Computers. If anybody's new to this show...
Hopefully there are.
Yeah, I hope so too. We did Castellini on Computer for Castellini on Computers in some variation for... roughly 10 years.
Yeah, it started in 1999.
Yeah.
Is when I started it. And I remember that was, of course, the year Y2K. And so everybody was building up. And the whole year, my kind of theme was people would call up and ask, what do I need to do to my computer? What do I need to do?
Yeah.
Is the earth going to blow up?
Right.
Are we going to have electricity? You know, all these craziness things. And my whole thing was all through that year, relax.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yep.
There's only a few instances that it is going to make a difference. And the people that are on top of that are on top of that.
Right. Exactly.
You as an individual should be fine. Yeah. So this is year number 11 of some iteration of Castellini on Computers. And Adam came on board with me a year and a half later as a college intern, and you were studying media. What was your major?
Well, graphic art and mass communications. I actually didn't switch my major until I realized I could graduate with mass communications faster. So
okay. Nice.
I switched my major and graduated about a year and a half earlier than I would have through my other degree. So.
Cool. That's
but
good.
I took all my Photoshop classes and Illustrator. I learned everything I wanted to do about graphic art. Then switched my major so I could graduate.
Very good. Yeah. And so then Adam came on board, and just a quick little synopsis of how it all started. Adam was sitting across the hall from me in a little booth screening calls, and that was pretty much all he was doing. And it was, were we an hour? We were 3 hours still at that time.
I can't
remember. Or was that 2 hours?
Made it 3 hours or two. I don't remember when we made it 3 hours, whether I was with you and not change it already.
I'm not
happened.
Sure when the transition was, but basically Adam sat in the other room, and we could talk during the breaks, the commercial breaks.
I would come into the room physically with you. And
that's right.
Talk,
and I think even you had to come in and bring in the list of people initially.
Something like that. Yeah, that's very possible.
And it wasn't until a few months later that they engineered a way for me to be able to see Adam's screen.
Yep.
And imagine that.
Yeah.
And Adam was able to put up on a call list, a call who's coming in. And then a few months later, it turned out they were able to connect the different studios. And that's when everything really changed.
Oh, yeah.
Because then Adam, I could pot up his mic and we'd bring him on from time to time. And then more we did it, to found out that we had a great little rapport going, and we certainly kind of shoot the shit, if to pardon my French, at each other quite a bit, and we both have a very dry sense of humor. And Adam is really dry, and so there'd be times I wouldn't even get his humor. But it worked; it really worked, and so people enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it. It really made it interesting for me to have another person to interact with, and Adam's knowledge of technology was growing and growing, and it was a big hobby of his, and so it really took off from there. And then about 2003 or 2004. We were really excited because we got picked up by a syndication company.
A major syndication company.
Yeah. There's part of Adam's dry wit, because dry humor, because it was not major. And they promised a lot of different things. Good news was it didn't cost us any money, but we had hoped for a lot more.
Right.
And Adam and I were working full time. We both had young families. And so we just didn't have a lot of time to devote to the radio. We did as much as we could, and boy, 3.5-4 hours a week is quite a bit.
Big dedication, lots of dedication.
And Adam started a newsletter very soon after he came on as an intern. In fact, I think that was one of your intern goals, was to start a newsletter.
Yeah.
And that newsletter went for many, many years, and through, again, lack of funds, we had to follow along with free services, one of which we ran, which turned out to not work well because it took too much work from our end. Then we went with a couple national free or international free newsletter services that have gone since out of business.
Right.
So now we're just doing straight RSS.
If you're looking at starting a company that does free emailing for companies and organizations, don't bother. They just go out of business a few weeks, a few months later. It's a terrible business model. That is one of the few free businesses that this doesn't
work well.
No. If you want to use paid stuff, you know, there's a lot of good stuff out there.
FeedBlitz, which I was using, was good. Yep. I thought it was $30 a year. And then all of a sudden, I noticed 2 or 3 months in a row, I finally looked at my PayPal account. And I said, they're coming out every month. I said, what's wrong? And very good support. FeedBlitz.com has extremely good support. And so I would email them, and they said, no, it changed about a year ago. So here I was paying $30 a month.
Oh,
that's half my phone bill almost. So yeah, I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I had to back that off.
Bummer.
So now I'm doing FeedBurner,
right?
Which doesn't give you any flexibility. It just sends out notifications when you have new stuff on your website.
Yeah.
So
that's all right.
And it works.
Yeah.
So we built up, we never know the exact numbers, but we had between 3 and 5,000 people on our mailing list.
Right.
When the first system went down, we only probably got about 3,000 to 4,000 of those people back.
Right.
FeedBlitz said that we had around, I think around 3,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Right.
And now that it's gone to FeedBurner, we're down to 250.
Oh, my gosh. 250?
250.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So it's got to start from scratch and build up.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
But anyway, that's kind of the short history of Adam and I and this show. Main purpose of the show, I guess we could cut and paste this up to the front of the podcast.
Oh, you're fine.
The main purpose of the show is that we'd like to share the information that we've gathered and we know about technology and share it in a very folksy, easy to understand manner.
Right.
And that's what we do as a business. That's what I do as business. Adam sold his business. And people enjoy that. They like hearing about technology in terms they can understand.
Right.
And that's our goal. You hear a lot of people spout that, but very few people actually do that.
And that is our goal. And if we're not doing it well enough, let us know and we break it down even further. So
all we want
is for old people to understand.
All people.
If we could, well, you know what I mean. if old people can understand it, then everybody can understand it.
Very true.
Yeah, that's right. So, download this podcast, give it to your grandparents, and make sure they know about helpmerick.com and find those answers to their computer questions.
Very good. And so we answer questions, and I'm actually looking through questions right now. I purged a bunch of them because, again, it's all about me getting enough time to do things.
Right.
and I'll make time to do things if I have a financial incentive to do things it comes to the business.
Gotcha.
So I purged a bunch of the questions, but I have a few good ones that have come up, Adam. I've got one here, a WordPerfect question. I mean, you don't see those very often anymore, but this is Jan from Florida, and she says, how in the world do I remove secondary page numbers when I am in WordPerfect? It is driving me crazy. My pages number perfectly 1 through 28, and then they start with number 14 because they are considered secondary pages, which I never wanted. Help. And if it's Word, that's usually because of what's called section breaks. And if you can find what's called a section break and then make sure you get rid of those section breaks so it's all one part of a document, you'll probably be fine. This is actually a good question for Adam's wife. She's a WordPerfect.
Not anymore. She's a Microsoft Word person.
But she used it for so long.
She did for a long time.
Usually, one thing
that Microsoft Word has, or I mean, sorry, WordPerfect has that Microsoft Word doesn't, that will definitely help her in this problem.
Reveal codes.
Is the reveal codes. Going through and turning on that reveal codes, and you can just search for it and help if you need to find out where it's at, because I don't know which version of Word your WordPerfect you're using. But then the reveal 5.
codes. 5.1.
Was out? Yeah, I'm sure it is. In that case, I don't know what the problem is. And the reveal codes, and that'll show you where those page breaks are, and you should be able to get rid of those fairly easily.
I think she should really import all of her data into Zoho, get the iPhone app on Zoho, and do it in Zoho.
Perfect. That's a great
solution. Zoho just released their iPhone app. I don't know if you saw
Excellent.
That.
No,
it's only a viewer at this point.
Right.
But it is an official app, and it'll preview your spreadsheets, word processing documents, PowerPoint documents.
Cool.
And I think it does the database too, but I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Pretty cool.
Very cool. I was looking through the history of WordPerfect.
On Wikipedia,
but I looked for it several places. But I just have to tell you, it's really funny because WordPerfect they changed their name about every 6 years. And so we've had WordPerfect, and then we had something.
Been WordPerfect.
They started out as Novell. No.
They were WordPerfect.
They were WordPerfect.
They were perfect.
Out
of Utah.
Then they were bought by Novell, then Corel, or were they bought by Novell?
I think they were Novell, but there was another company in between. Lotus. Did Lotus? Oh, no.
Lotus had their smart suite. Yeah.
No, you're right. I think it's Novell and Corel.
Yeah. Anyway, and Corel bought them.
And that's are they still Corel?
They're still Corel. But the weird part about it all is that they keep changing their name. Just a second. Oh, well. I'm just going to have to edit that out. I don't have a cough button here. But they keep changing their name, and so they went to 5.1 was the last DOS version, I think. There might have been a 6. And then there was WordPerfect for Windows. And then there was a WordPerfect Suite. And then there was
Then they changed the years or whatever.
Yep, they did the years for a while, and still had numbers mixed in with that, so that 2002 was version 9 or something. I forget how it works. And now they decided to start putting X's. So now we're at WordPerfect X6.
Yeah,
or X5. Sorry, WordPerfect X5. So when somebody calls and asks what version of Word,
you're
going to
lose your WordPerfect credentials because you let out the fact that X6 is coming.
Oh yeah,
darn it! What do they call that? The privacy disclosure.
I'm going to go on to WikiLeaks and put that on there.
There you go.
I'm putting them there. WordPerfect 6 is coming, and Microsoft plans Microsoft Office 2012.
That'll help deflect all the attention from what's up on WikiLeaks right now.
Yeah.
Did it get released yesterday? It was supposed to be yesterday.
I didn't hear how it ended up.
But that's another show.
That's a different show.
I think another thing we should talk about in terms of evolving is we are sitting right now, not in a radio station, not in a meeting room for a real estate agency, which is where we did our... We did that for a long time, which we sat there and did podcasting in our Stick'em show. But we are sitting in a state-of-the-art, very well-built, and very nicely accompanied building that Adam built on his property.
That's right.
So I feel like we're kind of like Twit, Leo Laporte.
Yeah, we are a little bit.
You need to name this.
A mini Laporte.
we need to name this something. Yeah, is it should. Name something? Is
no,
it
a, I keep calling it The Shed, and my wife says, quit calling it The
I
Shed.
I like that. The podcasting shed.
What I did is I had some shed people come and build a shed, mm-hmm. and then I had some other people come and convert the shed into an actual livable space. So, yeah, everything's
very
to code. Yeah, everything's to code and insulated, and it should be nice and...
He has Wi-Fi.
Perfect temperature. Yeah, I do have Wi-Fi. That's how you know I'm up and coming. Not only is it Wi-Fi, but get this. It's 802.11in.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And spared no expense.
That's right. And my switches, they're gigabit switches.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Very nice.
So that's how state-of-the-art we are here.
So I think, but again, and taking that another step further, Adam started his website about 5-6 years ago.
Oh, I don't remember. I think about 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's called talkingdigital.org.
Right.
And he had kind of a vision even way back then about what you wanted to do with it.
Yep.
And it's starting to come to fruition.
Yeah.
And
this is it.
Tell us.
Well, this.
I'm interviewing you now.
Oh, no, that's cool. I always wanted Talking Digital to have something to do with technology and podcasting, hence the talking and the digital part. I never knew, because really when I started this, podcasting hadn't even really been off the ground for very long, and nobody really knew what it was. But I also liked the ability to be able to run stuff, and I didn't know whether I'd be doing stuff on radio or what, but I've always been in radio, and so I knew that somehow I was going to do some studio stuff with this eventually. And just slowly over time, I added equipment and added stuff, then eventually built a building, and here we are. So talkingdigital.org, the plan for this,
and me.
It seems to be going well, is to find experts in their field, such as Rick Castellini. I'm working with other people. I'm working on various other podcasts with experts in their field who also are entertaining, people who you can listen to and who are good enough to be on, you know, terrestrial radio, and in a lot of cases have been on terrestrial radio. And I'm bringing them in to do podcasts, and hope to form a little podcasting network, sell some advertising. But most of all, I just want to have fun in the process. I want it to be something where people are doing what they enjoy doing, and then if they're entertaining doing it, of course, I'm looking for areas where people where there's a lack of podcast. Lack of podcasts in that particular area. So we have a podcast coming up that's all about unmanned vehicles and robotics. Believe it or not, yeah.
And I bet there'll be an avenue for that. Yep. There will be a listener audience.
Sure. There's a radio DJ that's going to be branching off into her own brand, and she wants to do something that she can move around the country and do, so I'm going to be working with her. There's another one called the Gung Ho Man Show that's coming. That's from a guy who used to run a military magazine and very, very interesting individual, but it should be a really fun podcast.
How'd you meet him?
He was my old boss.
Oh.
Yeah. So
Which one? The magazine?
From the magazine, yeah.
So he's not doing the magazine?
No.
Oh.
He's doing that. He's been doing PR for a while, and so I'm bringing him in for hosting a podcast about man stuff. It ought to be a lot of fun. Barbecue and
now, will you be in with him? Will you be doing it with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be doing it with him. And but that ought to be a good one, because he's run military magazines and gun magazines and stuff before, and it ought to be a fairly interesting podcast, because he's very politically motivated and all of that too. So anyway, but those are just a few of them that we're working on right now, and you know, each one kind of gets off the ground. I'm trying to bring on about one a week. We already have the Water Cooler All-Stars.
That was the first one, right? Really
from your studio. From Talking Digital. Yeah, that was really where I first, I mean, Castellini on Computers, of course, we've been doing forever in various formats.
Right, but not as a true podcast.
Right.
Really.
Right. This is the first time we've ever sat down to really record this as a podcast.
Right. Everything else we've done has been live.
Yeah.
And we've, in some form or another.
Yeah.
And it sometimes was crazy, but we always did it. And the nice thing about a podcast is we could be a little more relaxed in terms of timing.
Right.
We're not, I think maybe coming out of our radio show, and we decided to stop doing the radio show, and we took a break. We did take a break for a good 4, 5, 6 months.
Right.
And then we couldn't handle it, and we are currently still on terrestrial radio on a local, very small public radio station, 88.1 FM in Grand Junction, Colorado. And we do a show, an hour-long show, during what they call their public affairs or public, it's called public affairs? Community affairs, something like that.
But it's an hour long where most of the time they have people talking about what the Parks Department is doing or something, but we come in there.
They do have a lawyer that comes in once a week.
We kind of hijack the radio station one day a month.
And I always
over for an hour.
I always hear people all over the valley turning the volume down.
Yeah.
Because usually on public radio, everybody's so quiet.
If we use our public relations and our public affairs voices.
And you can't actually hear what they're saying.
And then we come on and go, hey. How you doing? Welcome to the Wacky Morning Show.
And I don't think we're that gregarious, but boy, compared to public radio, we are.
Absolutely.
But it's fun. They've given us the opportunity. We've been there, I think, Adam, in December it'll be 3 years that we've been doing that show.
That's crazy. So, yeah. 2 years, 3 years, something. Anyway, but yeah, so if you subscribe to the Castellini on Computer Stream, whether you do it through Talking Digital and the talkingdigital.org, you subscribe to a master feed, and that's where you will subscribe to every show that we do.
Okay.
But if you just want to subscribe to helpmerick.com and the Castellini on Computers podcast, then you'll go to helpmerick.com or just search Castellini on Computers on iTunes or your favorite podcasting software.
And you'll find it.
And you'll find that there. So we're in the process of getting those feeds listed, so...
Okay, well,
all right.
We usually like to talk about news.
Yes.
As well.
Lots of news.
And there is lots of news. Now, I was so busy yesterday, I did not even get a chance last night because I was working through the evening. I have not had a chance to catch up on what's going on with Apple.
Ooh.
I did.
This is a good day for Apple news.
I did look through on my phone on the web. I saw that they came out with a new iPod Nano.
The whole iPod line has been revamped.
It's been revamped.
So not just the Nano.
My question is how small is too small for an iPod? For an MP3 player?
We kind of know that because the Nano was too small.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the new, not the Nano, the Shuffle.
The Shuffle.
The Shuffle, which looked like a stick of Trident gum.
Right.
It was silver, little tiny. Before it looked like a stick of Trident gum, it had a little, you know, just the jog wheel looking thing on it with the play, and it was square.
Right.
Apple has completely scrapped the Shuffle design that they had before and gone back. This is kind of interesting.
I see it there now.
Because they've actually reverted back to the old design. It looks almost identical to the previous design of iPod Shuffle.
But how much smaller is that than the Nano?
They both it's not, but the Nano has a touch screen on it.
Right.
So the Nano is now the size of the Shuffle. That's a little square thing.
See,
it has a touch screen on it. I'm really excited about the new Nano. I don't, you know, it may turn out to be something that the screen just gets broken on. It's supposed to be a very flexible screen, touch screen.
So the price point, you can only get a 2 gigabyte Shuffle.
Right.
Is what it looks like. It's $50.
Yeah. That's a very reasonable.
That's a very reasonable price.
Absolutely.
Okay,
and also, you know, it doesn't let you pick through the songs because there's no screen on it. But you can either play all your songs in order or you can hit the Shuffle button, which is what I always do anyway.
Right. And so the Nano is an 8 and a 16 at $149, $179.
That's a little high,
I think. Seems a little bit high.
It does. But, it's a Nano. Now, what I didn't see, there's no camera in this Nano.
Well, that's what I saw on Twitter. Some people said, hey, thanks for taking away the camera ability.
Right.
It was just in one iteration of the Nano.
One version, yep.
But they took away the camera from it and put it...
into the iPod Touch.
Into the Touch.
And they're trying to sell the iPod Touch now...
at extremely high prices.
Extremely high prices, but they're trying to sell it more as an iPhone, a poor man's iPhone. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because
a poor man's iPhone that spent a lot of money.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know still, what
you said. Yeah, it's, you know, if you don't want the contracts and all of that, you can use the iPhone with Skype. You can use the iPhone with a FaceTime app that lets you do video conferencing with people with iPhones. So
that does work well, by the way.
Yeah, we're really starting to blur the line between the iPhone and the iPod Touch because they really cross over well now.
Now, my question is with Google last week, or I think it's only been a little over a week, allowing you to make phone calls from within Gmail.
It's incredible,
and it works really well.
Yeah.
Can you do that on a mobile, like an iPod Touch?
Not yet. Not yet, but I know that that's coming.
That's got to be coming.
Because you can run Google Talk on a
Droid.
On a Droid. So it all depends on how good the relationship between Mac and Google is going to be for that particular piece.
Which doesn't look great at the time.
No.
At the moment.
Well, no, they don't get along well, but then again, you know, they still have some sort of relationship there.
Right. So. Well, I think they need each other in many ways.
Yeah.
Google, I think... can probably survive just fine without them.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think that there still is a little bit of symbiotic relationship there.
Right.
So it does. I'm looking at the page right now, the Apple, the new iPod Touch, very pricey. 32 gigabyte is $300. 64 gigabyte is $400. It's kind of fun, interesting because as space has gone up, or as storage has gone up in terms of gigabytes, pricing for the higher end iPods, whether it be the generation one way back in the early part of the decade or now, still seems to be around the same.
Yeah, $400 has always been the highest end. It used to be the 16 gig.
Right.
When there was a 4 and 8 and a 16 iPod Touch. Now that we have did we just have 16 and 32? Is there even?
It's 8, 32, and 64.
Oh, okay. What about 16?
16's gone. There's no 16. It's 8, 32, and 64.
Well, there you go. They must not have been selling. I would think 16 would be the hottest seller. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Well, maybe the 32 moved into its spot.
Well, what's the 8 run?
229.
Wow. Well,
that's what I thought.
For an 8, yeah. Anyway, but it is a nice device. The iPod Touch is an excellent device for people who don't want a smartphone.
If it has the same camera as the iPhone 4,
right.
I will say it's fantastic.
Yeah, it does. It's as far as I know, it's
the iPhone 4 camera is unbelievable. It really does a good job. The video does a really nice job. And then now I know they announced that they're going to do, what's the fancy word they do now with cameras to make it better, the where they take three pictures and meld them together?
Oh, the HDR?
Yeah, and they're adding that to the iPhone,
sure.
Well, the iOS 4
right.
in the next iteration, 4.1, cool. whenever cool. that comes out. Did you see that?
Uh-uh. No, yeah. I didn't see that.
So
I
that's
did
very
see that,
cool.
Now, this is another cool thing that I did see about the iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. That is that it does have that Retina display.
Right, I saw that.
And that's cool. I mean, that to me, that's the coolest feature of the...
You're sporting the Samsung Moment?
Samsung Epic.
Epic.
Samsung
Yours is
Epic.
The Epic.
Uh-huh.
Your screen, I think, is better than the iPhone screen.
I think it's more contrasty and pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as resolution goes, this is the thing, is you have to say, well, how good does it look under a magnifying glass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if that's what you have to get to compare screens,
yeah, but
I don't care. Yeah. I think the Samsung Epic's screen is beautiful. It's that whole Galaxy S line. Beautiful. And I would prefer sharpness and contrast and color over very, very tiny pixels. And
right.
I think that's the advantage to the iPhone.
Well, I can tell you that when I got my phone, because I updated the iPhone 4 earlier this summer from the 3G. I had mine for a couple of years. And the screen's nice.
Yeah.
But I picked yours up, and yours I could tell it was nice.
Yeah.
I think that maybe the difference in between my previous phone and this one wasn't that great. But when I look at Adam's phone, the Samsung Epic, the screen there just looks fantastic. And boy, Android, let's switch gears and talk about Android, Adam. Adam's had a couple Android devices in the house with his family. His wife and his daughter have an Android phone. And they are really maturing quickly now.
Yes.
And I would say that the functionality of the Android phone is getting just fantastic. On the way over here this morning, I texted Adam to make sure I knew where to park in his new shed, Talking Digital shed. And see, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
He showed me a picture, and that's absolutely... Did you take that picture?
Yeah.
With this phone?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was going to say.
No, but it's still the color.
No, the color and everything's
incredible.
Fantastic.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you, but...
No. But Adam, the thing that I've talked about since... This last past year or so when one of the features they threw into Android was the voice data entry. And to me, that's the killer application on the Android.
It really is.
I've always been interested in voice recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And voice recognition has continued to evolve. And we have fast enough internet now and fast enough processing, even on mobile phones, that it happens at a pretty good rate. And it works very well. Do you think you'll use the voice data entry quite a bit?
Oh yeah.
I thought you might.
For texting. Now, the one thing I wish that they would do, and this may seem bad, it may be totally impractical. I wish that there was a way to put in periods and capitalization into the voice entry for texting and for stuff like that. And that's just because I'm picky.
So you can't say period?
I haven't tried.
But I think that might work.
What if I say period when I want to say period?
I'm not sure.
See, that's, I don't
but
know.
But I think you can try it. I don't know if it'll work.
I wish it would take the African sound as a period. I think that would be cool.
That would work.
I would just click my tongue like
that. Well, since it is based on Linux and Ubuntu.
Yeah.
It's not Ubuntu, but it's yeah. Linux based.
Yeah. Right.
That could be a good translation.
You never know.
That would work.
It might work.
I do. I keep thinking that we're going to see the iPhone's got to bring that, or Apple's got to bring it to the iPhone. There's two good applications, Adam, out there right now for the iPhone. And one of them is, I believe, also for, not that you need it on an Android, but it's called Vlingo. Have you seen Vlingo? Mm-hmm.
No.
See, I'm going to start my Vlingo. So if I start Vlingo, whoop, don't touch it. I just text Adam Cochran. Hello, Adam. We are doing the podcast together. All right. So I just did a voice data entry, and it came up and said, Aloetta, we are doing a podcast together.
Aloetta. Very nice.
It did get Adam. Did get Adam in there. And I wasn't talking real close to the microphone, so it could have been not picking up. It usually does a pretty good job. Then I just hit next, and it sends it.
Right.
So that's kind of nice,
cool.
Where it does a voice recognition of what's in the address book.
Yeah.
Can we do that with the Droid?
I haven't tried it.
So I'm not sure.
I haven't tried it. Now, see, every search, though, has a microphone
right.
button next to it. So I don't know. I haven't played with that. I just actually started playing with that last night. So I'll let you know more on it. Or, you know, if somebody's dying to know what the Android's capable of, check out Android Central or one of those other Android sites. There's a lot of stuff about them in there. Now, the other thing, too, that I think is kind of a hidden feature
mm-hmm.
to a lot of today's smartphones, and yours has it and mine has it, but it's not very common yet, but I think it's just going to be standard before long, is the new Gorilla Glass that they put into these things.
Okay.
Yours has it. It's just a super... You almost don't need a screen protector anymore. It's a very, very sturdy glass. You can take a wood screw out and rub it on the glass, and
it doesn't scratch it.
A diamond-edged, a razor blade, something like that, that will scratch it. But your car keys in your pocket and things like that, it's made to be fairly,
really,
very, very resistant.
Because I'm still putting
that. I'm going to put a screen protector on it, too, because I carry diamond-edged razor blades in my pocket sometimes.
Now, yours didn't seem quite... I do, too.
Yeah.
Yours doesn't seem quite as glary as mine, but that's another reason I like the screen protector, is it does make it a little less glary.
I agree. I don't like the reflection of these screens a lot. I mean, that's... I like the screen protector.
So your glass on that's very similar to the glass on the iPhone.
Same glass, yep. Same company, same.
How about the backing? Same thing on the backing?
The backing's rubber.
Oh, okay.
So it's that rubberized surface, and I like that a lot, too. Yeah.
Better grippy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nicer, so.
Very good.
But yeah.
Do you get a free holster, what do you call it?
Yeah,
cover?
Bumper.
Free bumper or something?
No, they didn't give me a free bumper. But I can't get the signal to cut down.
That proves it. That proves that the iPhone wins.
Yep, that's right. There's no free bumper.
Okay. What else I was going to talk about?
Oh,
today?
You know what? One other thing, along with the Apple announcements that I think is kind of a big deal.
Yes. What else happened?
There's only really one other major announcement. There are a few other little things with iTunes, but I don't care about the social aspect of iTunes.
There's plenty of that going around.
Yeah, and they don't even implement Facebook, so what the heck is... Why implement anything social into anything if it doesn't include Facebook? Anyway, but what I was going to say, they did update the iTV, they just call it the iTV now, Apple TV.
Right.
But the iTV is now... What would you compare this to? How big
two
is
two packs
this?
Of cigarettes.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, two packs of cigarettes side by side. Smaller than that, even a little. Little tiny, about the size of a hockey puck, square.
I'm looking around your
little
room.
Little device.
See.
Yeah, I just can't think of it. I know there's something obvious that's that size. But about the size of a hockey puck, but square.
They lowered the price.
Lowered the price to $99.
Okay.
And it lets you download and rent movies and all of that. It's mostly to interface with the iTunes store,
mm-hmm.
but it does work with Netflix. And it does work with
YouTube
streaming and a few of the other ones. It doesn't work with Hulu, but nobody cares about Hulu right now.
Hulu seems to be dying, doesn't it?
Hulu's dying fast.
And that's because...
I think it's licensing.
There's not a lot on Hulu.
No, I think the reason that there's not a lot on Hulu, though, is because of the licensings. TVs, shows, you know,
When you
networks,
click on something on Hulu, it takes you somewhere else.
Right. Or it comes up and it says you can watch... Episodes 1, 7, and 16 from season three and you want to go back and start from the beginning. I mean, you know, that's how I watched Lost. That's why I become a fan of Lost,
right?
Was because I was able to go back and watch the previous episodes. But I pick a show that, you know, some other show out there, and I'm not going to start season three and begin watching it. I want to go back to season one and catch up to it. So
now the one thing I did see in the, on the site yesterday on Apple is 99 cent, or on iTunes, 99 cent episodes
rental.
Yeah.
99 cent episode rental. Now, if you want to buy 99...
They call that a breakthrough price.
Exactly. And if you go over to Amazon.com, you can buy almost any episode. Buy it. Own it for 99 cents.
Yeah. And when you think about that, yeah, let's say you're watching a 30-minute program.
I know.
For 99 cents.
24 seasons and, you know, 24 episodes a season.
Yeah.
It's a little cheaper than buying the DVD collection, but it's not the, it's not as high a resolution. It's only 720p.
It's rental.
It is rental. That's a stupid thing. Yeah. So I keep thinking of Amazon that lets you buy stuff. So
now songs, music that you're buying for 99 cents, mm-hmm, that I think is a breakthrough price.
Yeah.
Television to me is one of those consumption devices. Now let's think about this.
Yeah.
People that go out and buy the Lost series.
Right.
1 through 7.
Yes.
They buy it. They watch it. Maybe they didn't watch all the series as it was going along. Realistically, what percentage of people who buy that DVD series are going to watch it again?
You know,
realistically.
Realistically, I don't. I think it's higher for Lost and Star Trek and things like that than it would be for other shows.
Mm-hmm. But how much higher?
Really, truthfully, I think I would say highest is 10%. Even for a good sci-fi cult following thing where people do watch them over and over.
Well, because think even in movies. If you think of how many movies you have in your collection.
Sure.
And think of how many of them you rewatch.
Right.
Maybe a dozen of them?
Well, see, that's a good argument for the rental. And
right.
I think that's what everybody's, you know.
But it's a high price for television.
Exactly.
To me, television is one of those things that always is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not made... They're trying to make it, but it's not really made for long-term
I would say rent the whole season for $10.
I loved Happy Days.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to sit down and watch 10 series of Happy Days, 10 seasons of Happy Days.
I hear you.
And I loved Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
And Welcome Back, Cotter.
Right.
But that was in the 70s. I'm not going to watch it now.
Right.
There's new things. There's, you know, I want to watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, by far, is to me, Ted.
Yeah.
The Ted series,
Ted
of video series.
Incredible.
There's so much more out there now and so much more available that to me, renting something that's marginal in its value anyway,
mm-hmm,
for 99 cents is just bizarre.
For half an hour.
It's bizarre to me.
Right.
It's absolutely bizarre.
And that's why we see Blockbuster filing for bankruptcy. And that's why we see Redbox thriving, is because people...
Got to call. Do we need to answer that one?
No. I'll do it later.
That's a very pretty ringtone. I
need to turn my ringer off anyway. Anyway, but what I was saying is that...
I followed your lead today. I did not turn my ringer off.
You didn't?
Adam's trying to figure out how to turn his ringer off.
Well, unless you turn it on. Anyway, I was going to get to something. Let me get to a point.
Yes, please make a point.
But
we need at least one in this episode.
Yeah, we'll try to make a point here, and this may not even be a point, but the thing is, Redbox is there. I think Redbox is one of the greatest things out there. I've even considered dumping Netflix, except for I still like the selection of Netflix.
Right.
There's an old movie I want to see. I want to show my daughter Pretty in Pink or something like that. I need my Netflix. But really, when I have a craving to see a movie,
mm-hmm,
I almost always go down to Redbox, get the new release that just came out, you know, this week or last week, you know, and I get it. I watch it.
Very convenient.
Sometimes even that night, I take it back. You know, I rent it and watch it.
If you're out and about.
If I'm out and about. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's so close. It's every McDonald's, every Walmart, every Sonic. You know, you're finding them all over the place.
Sonic has them now.
Sonic has them in a lot of places. I'm not sure if they do all of them, but a lot of them they do. Walgreens has it.
I do have to say the one thing I wish they would improve upon, and I think it will, uh-huh, as technology increases with Redbox, is have a bigger library. Like you mentioned about Netflix.
Yep.
I wanted to watch Pirate Radio last weekend. Couldn't find it.
No.
Redbox didn't have it.
Well.
And it's not that unpopular of a movie.
No.
Well, but it's a little over a year old.
Yeah. And that's it. You only get maybe 100 movies or 200 movies, whatever it is. And you figure that two-thirds of them are whatever, family movies.
Right.
Because they figure that's how people are using it. So, yeah, you want to rent some alternative movie or something that's been out just barely over a year or something like that. It's
you
hard to
Netflix.
Find it. Plus, if it's come out in the last 28, you know, but in the last 28 days or whatever, it's not going to be available. A lot of the movie companies aren't releasing them to Redbox and Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're just going to Hastings and to the...
They're picking and choosing distribution?
They're distributing to the actual hard DVD rentals.
Why is that?
To the stores. Mainly because they know that they're going to get their money back faster. That way people will go out and say, well, I can't find this movie at Redbox. I can't find it on Netflix.
So they'll pay $3 for it.
Or I might rent it there. Or the video rental stores across town, I'm just going to go to Walmart and buy it.
For $15.
Right. And that's what they're seeing a lot of is people. And they have seen an increase in DVD sales since they've started doing that. So I'm all for that.
Speaking of DVD sales, though, I was talking to my son about that. My son is a huge movie buff. He loves buying DVDs.
Right.
Now, he does buy them on sale. 99% of the time, he's waiting until they get to the $5 and $10 rack.
Yep.
But he does buy his fair share of new releases if he really likes them.
Yeah.
But my thought, again, and I think with the Apple TV, with Redbox, with Netflix streaming more and more videos online, my thought is we're getting very, very close, I'm thinking, and by close with the movie industry, I'm thinking 5 years.
Yeah.
There was an old Quest commercial about, gosh, I bet it's 7 or 8 years old now.
Uh-huh.
Early part of 2001. There's an old Quest commercial of a guy coming into a Western bar, an Old West style bar. And he bellies up to the bar and he says, what do you have? And the bartender, a woman, says, what do you need? And he says, well, what do you mean? He says, what do you mean? She says, we have everything you need.
Yeah.
And basically the whole thing was that any song, any movie, any TV show that you wanted was going to be delivered via the web.
Right.
And that was kind of the premise.
Right.
And I think we're very close to that.
Yeah.
That we're very, very close to that. Buying a movie, I think, is going to slowly die out. I think that it's kind of like music in a way. People are buying music if they really like it, but more and more they're buying it online.
Yeah.
And it's available online. And you can store these things digitally. And so instead of having 6 or 8 shelves full of movies, you're going to have it all online eventually.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we're almost at that transition. What's your thought?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think what we're going to have is we're going to have collector's edition DVDs. I don't think the DVDs will totally die.
I think there
will be a collector's edition DVD that comes with a fancy book and the fancy, you know, memorabilia stuff, all of that for $100 or $200 or whatever. And then everything else is going to be rental. There isn't going to be a need.
Or, again, you can purchase the movie.
Yeah.
Like you do it iTunes.
But like you said, digital downloading.
But it'll be digital, right?
Right. In fact, for one of my college classes, I looked around for one of my books that I needed that I'm never going to look at again.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnes & Noble has just started.
I saw that on their site.
Barnes & Noble has just started rental textbooks. It only works on a laptop, but it gives you the ability to bookmark and make notes and search
highlight
the entire book and highlight things and everything. So I'm experimenting with it. It was
You found your book?
Yeah, it was a $108 book. I got it for, with taxes, about $60.
So that's great. 40%.
I'm renting it for 3 months. And
so what happens on a textbook after that rental period? It just expires?
I think
expires?
The PDF just won't open. Yeah.
Okay.
Or they delete
so it's
it.
Time.
You have to log in to the application.
I see.
And then the file is actually on your computer, from what I understand. I'm still waiting for it all to process and show me how it works. But it just locks you out so that you aren't able to open that book anymore. You lose your license for it. I hate the fact of paying $60 for something digital that I can't even touch and all of that. But as soon as I...
Yeah, but better than paying $110.
Exactly. If I just get over it and realize I'm not going to have this book sitting on my shelf for years reminding me how much I paid for it, then it's not that bad a deal.
Now, we talked about this in our terrestrial radio show last month.
Uh-huh.
But we talked about our back to school. So kind of transitioning from that, Amazon...
Right.
Has just come out with their new version of Kindle.
Amazing, yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen one in the wild. Uh-uh.
But they've lowered the price.
Right.
Increased the function again. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's a very compelling little device right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking about doing, I need to look. I want to look, do some research for my daughter's second semester at college, mm-hmm. because, like you're mentioning, maybe she can rent all of her textbooks for the Kindle.
You know,
I don't know how many are out.
See, that's the problem. And when I'm looking, there's hardly anybody getting into the textbook market, especially for ebook readers.
Okay.
Like I said, even with this new Kindle or Barnes & Noble,
okay.
Had the digital version, but it was only readable on a laptop using their Barnes & Noble application called the Nook Study, I think is what they call it. But even though it's called the Nook Study, you can't read it on the Nook. You have to read it on a laptop or a computer, which is really, really annoying. But
yeah, so it's not mobile yet.
No. Which is,
how about on a smartphone? Not that that's a great way to read.
You know what? I haven't tried. No, there, well, there's
not a great way to read a textbook.
Yeah, there's not a Nook Study application available for
the smartphones. Oh, because it has to be part of that application.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's really weird. I don't know why they don't. I just think that there's an industry out there, a textbook industry, waiting to thrive if people will just
make that jump.
Make it happen. Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, I'm going to read another email here, Adam.
Sure.
This one is from Zoha.
Ooh.
From Pakistan. Pakistan's been in the news a little bit lately.
Mm-hmm.
I have installed AVG9 free version from FileHippo.com. After all the installation, the setup stops at the end and no option is shown in the taskbar. Please help.
Okay.
I don't know.
FileHippo is just a download site.
It's just a download site. But again, you know one thing about download sites. I've got to get on a soapbox today.
Okay, go for it.
I'm known for getting on soapboxes. But have you been to download.com lately?
No.
Go to download.com right now for me, if you don't mind. Adam's got a large screen behind him. And it's really irritating me. I know we have a really down economy, and I know people are trying to maximize their advertising profits. Okay, Adam. Now,
oh, wow.
I mean, first of all, you see that. Now, search for AVG, Adam, and try downloading it, and tell me what kind of experience you have. Adam is arguably a very smart guy and a very technologically savvy guy.
All right, I'm here.
So
ouch. Okay.
Okay, so find AVG and download it.
Just download it?
Yep, download the...
So do you want to... This one says avg.com. That's an advertisement.
Right? I want you just to do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to coach you through this. But see, already Adam's having trouble. Because...
Well, that's
because
it says antivirusnewsecurity.com. AVG official download avg.com.
I know, but
when I click on that, it's going to take me to AVG.
But see, I was sponsored. Go back.
Yeah, now I know it was sponsored, but I didn't see the other one. Let's see.
Go down a little further.
That says link scanner.
Oh, so it didn't even show. What did you put in as a search term?
AVG.
Okay. Wow. That's awful right there. Is there more than one page of results?
No.
Oh, brother. Okay. That's horrible. Okay.
Okay.
Try Malwarebytes. Try searching for Malwarebytes. These are just common tools that we do refer people to when they need to clean up their computers.
But see, you've always been a fan of download.com, and I never have been.
You never have been. Okay, let's see. Scroll down.
I can't get anything to show up.
Holy camoly. Maybe you have spyware on your system as it
is. Oh,
as
you know,
speak.
Here's the problem.
What? Oh.
I have it set on Mac.
Ah, okay.
I didn't realize.
Oh, because you're on your Mac.
It detected my Mac, yeah. Okay, there we go. Malwarebytes.
Okay,
I'm
now
here.
Try to download it.
Okay.
Okay, now look at that. Now look at that screen right there.
Yes.
You got that big advertisement at the top, the big advertisement on the right-hand side.
And the Spyware Doctor, I hate Spyware Doctor.
I don't like Spyware Doctor.
I hate it, yeah. Because they always have that big download here thing, and people think that's what they're supposed to click on. So you have to click on download now.
Okay. Now watch what happens here. Look at this.
Wow.
Okay. Now yours happened pretty quick. Your download, I've got a feeling because you're on the Mac.
And because I have 12 megabit.
And you're downloading Windows. What's happening, though, on download.com right now is when you go to download a product, and once you click the download now link, you always expect it to go to a new screen. You're going to see a small ad, and you have to wait just a second before the download starts. Problem is, on CNET.com, they've increased that length of time after you click download now, and you have to look at a gigantic ad that's similar. It says, download this free tool. I have so many people that are downloading registry cleaners and PC Doctor or Spyware Doctor, and it's just maddening, maddening, maddening. And so you said
why
you're not
to download.com.
It used to be that would be a I knew that they could get a good used to be able to get a good experience there.
Right.
So because what happens when I send them to the site, like say ccleaner.com,
right?
Then they end up clicking on a link that takes them to a download site anyway.
Right.
Because they don't go underneath and say download from ccleaner.com.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know the drill.
Yep.
And it's just it's maddening. But anyway, where were we going before I got off on that diatribe?
I don't know. We were talking about
DVD Kindle and
yeah.
But we were talking about downloading. Stuff. Gosh.
We were talking about I don't know. Well, let's move on.
We were trying to help this poor lady.
Oh, yeah. In, we were answering her question.
In Pakistan, Zoha. Or might be a man. I don't know. Zoha from Pakistan using Windows XP. What I would do, Zoha, if Zoha can get this podcast, and if I was coaching Zoha, I would tell her or him to go to helpmerick.com, which is our website. Use the download link we have there because that'll be the direct download from AVG. Because I'm not sure, again, exactly what they're clicking on from FileHippo. FileHippo is very similar to download.com where there's a lot of advertising going on and it's very easy to get confused and click on something that they're trying to do. Well, even Adam just now, bless his heart, now the Mac was kind of messing you up because it was going to Mac. But the advertising is so prevalent and is so sneakily integrated into what's going on there that it looks like it's what you should click.
Yeah.
It's very crazy. Okay, we have another question here I want to answer, Adam, before we probably wrap things up in a few minutes.
Yeah.
This is from Allie in Jersey. Windows Vista is from Jersey. Cannot install Windows updates. I get many error codes. There are 9 important updates to be installed. One of the codes. Now, Adam, ready?
Okay.
Is 8E5E0147.
147. I know. Boy, I wish it was 144.
Yeah, 144 would be easy to.
Yeah, but boy, 147.
I think that's the code for get Windows 7.
Yeah. I think so.
What other news items this week have hit you, Adam?
Oh, you know, the Samsung, for what it's worth, everybody's coming out with a tablet.
Yes. When are they coming out? They say they're coming out. Are they coming out
soon? Samsung's coming out soon on Verizon.
How soon?
In the next month, I think.
Okay.
Here's the deal. They haven't come out and given a release date, but it's already showing up in Verizon's system if you follow the Android blogs and stuff. So it will be on Verizon. It'll also be – now, it has to be coming on to somebody else, too, because it has a GSM radio in it, which isn't Verizon. Hmm. But Verizon has a Samsung tablet in their system for
– Now, this tablet you have on the screen here looks like it has a camera.
It does. Yeah, this is a tablet. It's a new concept. Nobody's really thought of this before, but putting a digital camera into a tablet. But it'll be an Android tablet made by Samsung. It's a
– How big is that one?
I was just looking for the size here, but it runs an AB, G, and IN radio, has Bluetooth 3.0, GPS, that's good. And then, it runs Flash 10.1. If you've ever heard of Flash, Flash is something that they, a new concept, again.
Why do you need Flash? Flash isn't needed.
Yeah, that's true. You don't really need Flash unless you like to view entertainment websites on the internet. 3-megapixel camera, 1.3-megapixel front-facing camera, so it has both, full HD playback.
Now, what's it running? Oh, is it running the Droid Android?
It is Android 2.2.
Okay.
And it has, this is another new concept, an expansion slot. Have you ever heard of that? That's where you put an SD card in there.
You don't need that.
For storage. And then there was something else. It sports up to a 32-gigabyte card, and it weighs 13 ounces.
It's too heavy.
Yeah, that's true. I don't see the size for some reason.
Surprisingly.
Anyway, but there we go.
I'm surprised they don't show the screen size.
Yeah, I don't
see. Boy, you and I, though, I sent you that.
It says it's a 7-inch screen.
7-inch. What's
so
the...
So it's on the size of the thing we were just talking about. The Kindle.
Oh, the Kindle.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what size is the iPad?
It's a 9-inch screen. I think.
Nine screens.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
It's bigger than... This is smaller. This is in between. This isn't actually made to be a tablet like you would think of the iPad, but it is much bigger than a cell phone. So, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a little 6-inch screen. If you go look at a Kindle or a Nook, you'll have an idea.
You and I saw that Kmart.
Which is a great size.
That little cheap Android tablet at Kmart, but they didn't have it in town.
Have you seen it? They have one in their display case now.
Oh, they do now. Mm-hmm. And what does it look like?
It looks like a little tablet. I mean, it looks okay, but you know what? It wasn't turned on. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't see the speed.
What was the price?
That stuff. $149.
Okay.
Yeah. And this one, since it comes with a cell phone company, I have a feeling that this one's going to require a contract to get it at any kind of good price.
The thing is, it's going to be out for a little while.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft will want to put Windows 7 Basic on it.
That's right.
And then just kill it.
It'll kill it. That's already going to happen. I think that's... I think Samsung's smarter than that. I think Samsung and HTC are really leading the charge with Android. And Android, from my experience with it, is a viable operating system for...
In and of itself.
It's going to work just fine. You know, you'll be able to do that. And then, you know, Google OS, we still don't know if that'll ever appear. But
right. It's kind of an odd thing. And I don't know if they'll somehow melt that into the Android or what.
I'm not sure.
I haven't downloaded the latest Google OS in a long time. I played with it earlier in this year from January to about March, but I haven't seen a recent iteration of it.
Yeah.
I know when they announced it last year, I think it was like last June of 2009, they were hoping to have something released by June of 2010, right, or maybe even a little bit sooner, but here it is, September.
I think they happened. I really think they realize that there's a lot of advantages to Android.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just my own instinct or whatever you want to call it. I don't think
that is not an advertisement for Samsung.
No. Oh yeah, that wasn't the Sam. Yeah, especially for the instinct. I would just be surprised if we see Google OS come to fruition. I think that
you think it may not happen.
I think Windows 7 has kind of killed off the netbook market. The iPad has increased the tablet market, and Android is made better for tablets than a standard operating system like Google OS.
Well, I'm getting more and more excited about tablets.
Right, me too.
Because way back when I had the old handspring. I forgot what they were called now. The handspring palm device. What were the handsprings? It's called a handspring.
Yeah.
And I had the little keyboard that went with it. Yeah, I used to bring that. In fact, there's pictures of us on the website. I looked at a few, I don't know, came across a month or so ago. We're sitting at that crazy little dirty hotel at Las Vegas. And I'm sitting there with my little keyboard.
For CES. We don't go to Las Vegas to dirty hotels unless it's for CES.
That's right.
Just so you know. I just want to clarify.
But I'm sitting there with my little handheld, my little monochrome screen handspring with the keyboard. And I used that weekend to cover CES. That might have been the Comdex days, actually.
Oh, it could have been.
That might have been one of the last Comdex.
Comdex, yeah.
But and even in the campground that we decided to try in my van,
right?
And I used it there. And there's a picture.
I remember
there.
That. Yeah.
And so I'm excited about that because the netbook I thought was going to do it, and I like the netbook.
Yeah.
Because it was small and it was tight and it did those things. Keyboard is a little small, you know, the more I used it.
Yep.
So I think the tablet may be something. I'm always looking for something that's portable but yet very functional.
Right.
And the phones are obviously great, but they're just too portable.
Right.
And not enough function for doing word processing, blogging, things like that.
Absolutely.
And those are the things I use the computer the most for is blogging and you know, a little bit of word processing, of course, email. But I'm excited and looking at the Samsung Galaxy tablet that's coming up here. That might be kind of a neat thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also going to come, you're going to have to, just like Apple, you'll have to buy a proprietary keyboard for it.
Right.
It does have Bluetooth, so you can get a Bluetooth keyboard as well, keyboard or mouse and all of that. So, yeah, I think it's
And it'll sync with iTunes.
Right. Whatever. But no, I guess it has disadvantages, but I certainly think this is a more appealing option for what I do than the iPad.
Very good.
All right.
Well, it is, I think, almost an hour into this.
Yeah, Adam. We're 58 minutes, 35 seconds from the time we started recording.
How much?
58 minutes and 35 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. Very
we're
cool.
About time. Time's
well, then we have time for one more question.
Oh, absolutely.
We this is from Mike in Grand Junction. How do I copy my email address file from Outlook 2003? So I think what he wants to do is just export.
I think
so,
too. He
wants to back it up.
That's what it sounds like.
You need to go to File from the menus in Outlook. Click on Import Export, and then you're going to – oh, before you do that, make sure you have the contacts highlighted. You can do this later also. But go to File, Import Export. You're going to click Export to a File. There's an option. Click Next on the little wizard, and then after you click Next, it's going to ask you what format do you want to export it in. And the best way to export any kind of a database, which an address book is a database of your – addresses, is in a CSV, Charlie Samuel Victor. And that is a comma-separated value standard type of format that you can import into almost any other address book. And then just follow the wizard, and you'll have it backed up.
That's what you do.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
That's all right.
A nice size. Looking at the Galaxy tablet, it is a nice size. I like that a lot.
It's almost back-pocketable.
Almost.
If you're a rapper, it's very back pocketable.
Yes. Yeah. It might pull your pants down a little bit around your waist.
But they wouldn't like that.
No. No, you need to keep pulling your pants up if you're a rapper. But it is a nice size. Smaller than the...
it's only 13 ounces, though.
Smaller than the iPad. Yeah.
They probably have something else in their pocket that's a little heavier than 13 ounces. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that must be it. Okay.
All right. Well, I just enjoy rapping and speaking of rapping. I enjoy talking about technology
we'll rap about technology next episode.
And shooting the breeze here with my buddy Adam. And Adam, this is a very, very comfortable shed that you've put together here.
I think so.
And I think it's working great.
Yeah, me too.
Now, if you just me sound like Howard Cosell or Paul Harvey in the podcast.
Harry Carey.
I'd rather go with Howard or Paul Harvin.
Okay, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do it. So,
but I
sounds good.
I think this was fun, and we're planning on doing this weekly.
That's the idea.
That's our goal, and we'll see how it goes. And so, you can shoot questions to us from now on back at the website at helpmerick.com, and we'll answer as many as we can throughout the rest of the BS session that is Adam and I yakking about technology.
That's it.
And visit my website at helpmerick.com. You can follow me on Twitter at helpmerick.
And I'm at talkingdigital.
And your website is?
Talkingdigital.org.
In case people didn't hear that the first four or five times we said that, that's where Adams is. And we'll have this podcast up in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No,
why
teasing.
Not?
You don't know when this is recorded, so yes, it will be up,
it'll
in, the
be up in the next 20 minutes. So if you listen in the next 20 minutes, in fact, if you're listening to this, everything you just heard happened 20 minutes ago.
It's very current.
That's it. That's how we whirl. All right.
Well, thanks very much for listening, and I hope you pass along the word about Rick and Adam talking technology here on the TalkingDigital.org podcast network from the Grand Junction shed.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.